Welcome into the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is back in the flesh for today's episode presented by Bill Curry Ford, the first family of Ford in Tampa for the past 60 years. BillCurryFord.com is the website, and you can head right to their fantastic showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. We tell you all the time, General Manager Sean Sullivan will give you personal attention and show you what it's all about at Bill Curry Ford, which is great relationships, a true family-owned dealership that cares about you, and you'll get the Ira Kaufman discount, the Joe Bucks fan discount. You can talk Bucks with him. Get started now at BillCurryFord.com. Shop around. Their slam dunk savings for March are underway. You can see them all there, and their used inventory is fantastic, the best in the Tampa Bay area. Ira's going to talk more about them later, and we remind you on the podcast platforms, subscribe to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, wherever it is that gets you a free alert so you know when the new episode pops, since we deliver the new episodes all different times, all the time. This week we even had a bonus episode that you can go back to listen to. So remember to subscribe. The BigJoeBucksFan.com draft party with Ira Kaufman in the flesh at Big Storm Brewery, the tap room in Clearwater on 49th Street. It is getting closer. We're not at free agency yet, but the draft really is around the corner, which is very exciting. Big Storm beers, you really need to buy them. Go to the Storm Tracker at JoeBucksFan.com to see all the beer and where you can find it, or go to BigStormBrewery.com. But their classics, their core beers, are really fantastic. The Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Key Lime Shandy, the Bramosa Tangerine IPA, which I'm a big fan of, Tropic Pressure, Florida Ale, so many choices. Go to BigStormBrewery.com and see the specialty beers. And this week, you are going to be able to make reservations for that draft party. We have a very limited number of tables that we're just reserving for the people who are so hungry to be there that they want to get a quick reservation. And we've got some exciting announcements coming down about the draft party. Two of the independent podcasts that are out there, Loose Cannons and the Pewtercast, they're going to be broadcasting live and inviting their pals out there. And we're sort of opening the doors to all sorts of different Bucks media and friends. And the party's always a fantastic time. It will be that way again at Big Storm Brewery. They have three tap rooms around the Bay Area. Again, go to BigStormBrewery.com. And we always thank our friends at Pin Chasers, which is the number one place to bowl in the Tampa area. They have three locations. You can reserve a lane on their website. You never pay for shoes at Pin Chasers. And the food is fantastic. And there's a daily special every single day, sometimes two in a day. Don't forget that Sunday breakfast bowl. Great time to spend with the kids. And you can even do that after you go to Pin Chasers on Friday and Saturday night for cyber bowling. Go to pinchasers.net. Pinchasers.net. Now here is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, talking Bucks. He is fired up. Winston Mania, Ira calls it. Enjoy.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the man of the next 45 minutes or so, the king of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's none other than the internationally renowned Ira Kaufman. Ira, good to see you again, man.
I'm feeling good, Lee. The weather's nice. Cosmo running all over the house.
Your puppy.
Peeing every other minute. But my wife's been working with him. She's got him going on the paper. She says she's going to start doing that with me next week because I'm peeing all over the house.
The way Jason Light was at the Indianapolis, I thought he peed in his pants. So, I mean, he is so uncomfortable up at the podium.
You took a couple of great candid shots of Jason Light when he was asked questions. He's always looking up at the sky. What's
always
he looking for?
Yeah, it's like, I joke that it's like he's searching for divine intervention or divine guidance. It's like every question he's looking up.
And Lee, at the same time, Bruce Arians couldn't find a microphone he didn't want to cozy up to.
Thank goodness.
He was everywhere.
Thank goodness. And a good thing, too, for us and for everybody, because he's entertaining. He had the best line of all, and it was a response to my question. I looked up. It was during his sidebar.
You said earlier you'd like to hit some of these guys with some hard questions. Can you give us an example or two?
When's the last time you got high?
What kind of response did you get with that?
Is that a hard question or an easy question?
I mean, that could be a trick question, too.
Yeah. I just want to look in their face if I do. If they start, I know.
Well, you know what's great about that is that these guys, and it's getting worse every year, but they're rehearsed. They're rehearsed more than political candidates going into a debate. And if you can hit them with a question that they don't anticipate,
like that,
and that their handlers haven't prepared them for, you can really get a you know, some kind of a reaction where you might be able to get a little glimpse into their personality, mm-hmm. and their temperament. I think that's what Arians is interested for.
He was talking about how he really doesn't enjoy going to these player interviews. It's not his cup of tea. And when he does go there, his words, not mine. I like to have some fun.
I don't know how many weeks this can keep going, maybe two more weeks, but Winston mania. You know, you think this craziness about the coronavirus? Winston mania. It's going crazy in Tampa Bay. Now, Lee, you just got back from Indianapolis, and you and I have talked about this. Anytime that anybody brings anything up about the Bucks, you know, maybe they're talking about Shaq Barrett, yeah, 1 out of 10 times. But 90% of the time, what's going on down there with number 3?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on? Who's going to be under center for the Bucks next year?
Oh, yeah.
It's constantly. Everybody is weighing in, from Peter King to Pat Kerwin, all the national pundits, Jason Cole, Prisco, you know them all, Rappaport. And everybody's trying to solve this puzzle, and they can't cut quite, and it's a little bit like the Brady thing. I'm not saying it's as big as Brady nationally.
True.
Brady's number one in terms of the dominoes that are going to fall. We know Rivers is not going to be back with the Chargers. There's no mystery there. Mm-hmm. Question is, where is he going to end up? But with Brady, you got the double thing. Is he going back to the Patriots? And if not, where is he going? And you got the same thing with Winston. Now, Lee, maybe you and I are jumping the gun. I know I wrote about it last week, and I wasn't an Indy, but you were kind enough to send me all the transcripts. And I called it tepid support. You think even the word tepid might be too strong.
To me, it was no support
for Jameis.
Didn't you use the line, they're hanging him out to dry in the chilly Indianapolis wind?
I did.
Or something, or Midwestern wind? Yeah, they hung him out to dry. Now, you know,
But some fans are thinking we're reading too much into this.
To me, it looks like they're moving on unless they can't get anybody. That's what it smells like to me.
Does it sound anything like what they were saying about McCoy after last season?
Sort of, in the sense that there was no definitive answer. You know, we would ask, like, well, is Gerald coming back or not? Because I don't know. Well, we don't know. This is sort of I don't know. And when Light said, no, we're not saying we don't want
Jameis. We're not closing the door on anything.
We're baloney. By coming right out and saying you want Brady, by coming right out and saying you want Phillip Rivers, if that's not saying you don't want Jameis, I don't get it.
You know what I thought was one of the most damning lines, Lee, was I was actually taken back by this line. I think it was Arians rather than Light, but didn't Arians at one point describe Winston as an unknown quantity? After 5 years in the league now, Arians is always quick to say, I'm not judging him by his first 4 years. I'm only judging him by his 1 year. But an unknown quantity, Lee? I mean, you wouldn't even say that about Dwayne Haskins.
No. I'm starting to think, you know, if you believe Peter King's report, why wouldn't you, that apparently there's no interest in the NFL with Jameis. I don't believe that. I find it a stretch. I'll admit, I find it a stretch, even though I'm subjective about Jameis. I'm starting to wonder if the Bucks or the NFL dug up something on him that nobody knows. That would explain
and
all this.
That could support the Peter King theory
that
he's going to be a backup next year. By the way, I want to talk about this latest report, Lee. I want to weigh in on this latest report. Not only does it say that the Bucks would have an interest in Bridgewater, and Winston would leave the Bucks, and he'd be, quote, perfect as Drew Brees' backup in New Orleans. Now, let's look at this thing, Lee. My first impression was, who the hell is saying something like this? Here's why I give that zero. I said zero, Lee. I didn't say 10%. I give it zero creeds. Here's my point. If Sean Payton, who ain't no dummy.
No, he's a good coach.
If he lets Bridgewater hit free agency, to me that means one thing and one thing only. And you're having trouble wrapping your arms around this, but if that happens, to me, that means he's settled on Taysom Hill as Brees' backup.
And you're right, I can't wrap my head around that.
For 2020, with the idea that he's eventually going to replace him.
Yeah, I don't believe it. And by the way, didn't he sing the praises of Ryan Griffith like he was the next Peyton Manning at one point? Oh, I hated letting him go.
Let's take Hill out of the equation.
Why should Peyton think that Winston's going to be better than Bridgewater in the New Orleans offense when Bridgewater just went 5-0 and won't cost as much as Winston?
That's a fair point.
I just don't get that report.
That's a fair point.
And it also surmises that Winston can't get a starting job in the free agent market, and I question that.
When I read that the Bears apparently contacted Cincinnati for Dalton, that just reinforced what I've been saying all along. The Bears, I think, would be, if Jameis leaves, that'd be a destination.
I think that's a destination.
But Arian said one thing that made me think the Bucks were trying to burn a candle at both ends. They're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. It was like, we like Jameis, but we don't. We want Jameis to play for us, but we don't. You know, like, they're going to make up their mind. You know, some may say talking out of both sides of their mouth. But Arian said something that had me, I mean, just like, I did a a double take. That was a cartoon character I did, Looney Tunes. Arians was asked about, you don't want Jameis anymore on your team? I can't remember specifically who asked him that. And Arians' response was, hell yes, I can win with Jameis. Then what's this whole charade about? If you are convinced, and he can't, even forceful, what's this all about?
What's the talk about door number two?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get that. But here's where I can prove I'm objective about Jameis. And Steve Isbitz, my co-conspirator, JoeBucksFan.com, has really been harsh about Jameis's handlers throughout his football career. We know he has a new agent this year. It was DeSean Jackson's old agent. By the way, DeSean Jackson on the sideline of Vipers game Sunday night.
Whoa.
Exactly.
You got nothing better to do?
So, he lives in California. He flew all the way over here. Jameis's agent, finally, someone had a bright idea. Jameis is getting hammered in Indianapolis. Arians doesn't want him. Door number two. Light's done with him. But then again, I'm not. Everybody said he can't get a job. He's just getting beat up in Indianapolis. And for a few days, that was NFL Central. There's no question about it. So everything coming out of Indianapolis was anti-Jameis, poor Jameis, rotten Jameis. Jameis is done. Just getting beat to a pulp. After about the fourth day of this, someone had an epiphany and decided to email Rappaport. Maybe it's both him and Schefter. The results of his medical reports. He had LASIK, he had knee surgery, broken thumb. Why didn't you do that on the very same day Light and Arians threw your client under the bus?
They waited 3 days.
I mean, they waited 3 days for him to get pounded on. But here's where I can be objective. I don't buy the knee, and I don't buy the thumb. I'm not saying he was not injured. If they're trying to say his last two games was because, and his last two games was horrible, and that's why we're talking about
that's
this.
That's why we're talking about
it. You take his last two games. I read somebody. Maybe I read you. You take away his last two games, he's probably already signed. He's probably signed right now. If you're that injured, get your rear end off the field. And if you think you can play,
the team was already eliminated from the playoffs. They were eliminated from the playoffs.
That's selfish. If, and I don't know this, if his injuries caused him all those pick sixes and those rotten passes, if that's the case, Jameis, that's on you, pal. Not just the results, but you put yourself in position to screw your team up because you're too bullheaded. These injuries, nope, I need to get off the field. And in a way, that's a novel thought. Okay, I'm going to fight through these injuries. Okay, I get it. Be a warrior, all that. But if you're that injured that you can't do your job right, get your rear end off the field. That's not a leader. Jameis's camp is trying to say those bad games were as a result of a bum knee and a broken thumb. I don't buy that at all. Now, so I told you I could be objective.
Now, Lee, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock you. Moving away from number three for a moment, and I know we'll get back to
it. And I'm sure there's some people like...
I'm going to shock you, Lee. I've come around in terms of need and draft, and it's clear to me Arians is not interested in taking a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
I like his theory. I like that.
I like his theory.
And just so people don't know, he basically said the old football cliche, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
But if you take quarterback in the first round, there's going to be pressure to play the kid. So that goes into it. Huh? But I have come around to the DeKemper theory.
Oh, no.
And it's taken me a while.
Yeah, Rachel Watson's hot.
Got to draft the D-line in the first round. Yeah, draft the D-line. Now, you're wavering a little bit. I don't know if you're talking about a right tackle or running back. But you're wavering a little bit, and here I am trying to meet you halfway at that LSU kid at number 14, who you love, by the way,
because
he handles himself very well.
What's really cool about the Bucs draft is, especially as we sit here first couple of days of March, this offseason could go so many different ways. We don't know about JPP. We think Sue's going to come back, but again, no one's talking. JPP is a wild card. Jameis is a big wild card. We think Shaq's going to be here. And by the way, people freaking out about Shaq and the franchise, at the very least, that buys the Bucks time to work out a longer deal.
Lee, the only thing I'm going to say with certainty right now
is that Arians is the coach.
And Shaq Barrett's going to be a Buck.
Yeah.
Because exactly. They have it within their power to make him a Buck. And Arians said he ain't going nowhere. And once Arians says that, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. If the Bucks get Brady, let's say hypothetically, the Bucks get Brady, and I lean toward that's not going to happen. Well, you know what? I don't know if they have the money for JPP then. So then, yeah, you have to draft the edge rusher. I hate to see JPP go, but, you know, there's only so much cash laying around.
Heck, Lee, I think they should draft the D lineman, even if they bring Sue and JPP back, because
they're old.
They're getting a little old.
Yeah, they're getting a little old.
Vay is the young guy there.
That's a John Lynch theory, and got him a Super Bowl. Well, got him to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, I don't think you can go wrong drafting passers tonight. If they think Chaseon's the guy, yeah, I'd go get him.
Now, I've come around to you on the D-lineman. Mm-hmm. Are you coming around to me that you at least answer phone calls and make phone calls about Jack Conklin, or is his price put him out of range?
Conklin's another guy that if the Bucks sign him, do they have enough left over for JPP? So that'd be the same situation.
He's young, Lee. He's young.
What, 26?
26.
Now, I think it was NFL radio I was listening to. Someone brought up, if Conklin's this good, why don't the Titans keep him, especially since they're run team?
Because they're having money issues. They're having money issues with Henry and Tannehill.
Now
they got problems.
If the Bucks get Conklin, that's a whole bunch of money in the offensive line.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
No question. To me, it frees them up not having to use a premium pick on a right tackle.
Yeah.
If you can do it.
Well, I'll say this.
He might cost $15 million.
That's all. Yeah. That would be, not counting Kappa, that would be, what, $45 million just on the offensive line? Wow. Now, I still believe that they need a running back. And I will tell you this.
Let's say
Jameis leaves. Now, I know the interceptions. I get that. That's no good. But the guy produced and put up points. So I don't think, barring Brady, I don't think you're going to get a quarterback that's going to put up those points and yards. Key is points. So if that happens, let's say the Bucks get a lesser quarterback, whomever that may be. And I'm not calling Brady lesser.
Well, let's say it's a Bridgewater. Yeah.
Okay, let's say it's a Bridgewater. He's not going to light it up. Like James did, both ways, both pro and con.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Not going to lie to that.
That's right.
Arians has to have a come to Jesus moment and quit acting like this running back situation is sufficient.
Can't these guys even acknowledge the running game's been lousy? Can't they acknowledge it?
I mean, to me, it's okay if he would
be
say,
honest with your fans. They know it.
Yeah, they can't be that blind. If they are, then there's some issues there. I think it's okay. I don't think it's embarrassing if you come out and say, you know what? The way these guys practice through OTAs, through training camp, I thought we had something, and it never materialized. Okay, you're human. It happens. But this is to blindly say, oh, they're solid. Solid what? Like someone Twittered me, solid what?
Now, Lee, speaking of the run game and all the components of it, and I understand, you know, a team like the 49ers, they always talked about how the tight ends, Kittle, hell of a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Their wide receivers block well, that Debo Samuel or whatever. And it's a collaborative effort, no question, Lee. But I don't know if you saw my column the other day. I did some original research for man. And a couple of things I'm going to throw out there. I still can't believe it. They've been drafting for 44 years.
44 the right tackle.
Freaking years. They've never drafted a right tackle that represented the Bucs in a Pro Bowl. And this might even be worse. Talking about the entire offensive line, I only found two people. I found Davin Joseph and Tony Mayberry, who played in the 90s.
Oh, Mayberry got a Pro Bowl.
He was a center, and he was a draft pick. That's it. Lee,
wow.
How could that be?
Not even Sean Farrell. I thought Sean Farrell was pretty good.
Not only that, Paul Gruber never made a Pro Bowl.
And he still got his name
in the ring. And by the way, speaking of the ring,
Dungy was on my flight coming back. He sat next to me.
Never mind that Dungy. We're going to talk about the guy that worked hand-in-hand with Dungy, which is Mr. Monty Kiffin and Lee. Right. Even though you and I have some other guys, you know, I got James Wilder waiting in the wings, but I certainly have no problem with Monty Kiffin being honored, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
No, he's well-deserved, no question about it. And I'm glad they did it before he's 6 feet under. He's, what, 80 now? So, yeah, I'm glad
they
threw
a party for him last week.
Yeah, the Glazers threw a surprise party for him, and they announced that he's going to the
My invite must have got lost in the mail over there, Lee.
Well, you know something? when you bring up the Ring of Honor, and fans really enjoyed this subject, you know, and I got to give the guy credit. I'm laughing because of what he wrote on Twitter, but James Wilder Jr., last year and a half, last 2 years, he's on a campaign on social media, get his dad in the Ring of Honor. And he was darn good running back.
A workhorse.
Yeah, and I think he said he's got quotes from Lawrence Taylor or Harry Carson, who's the toughest back they'd ever placed. Admirable. There's no question. I think at some point he deserves it. But I could tell the Glazer family, they hated the creamsicles, and they didn't like the people that wore them either. So they got that going against them. But James Wilder Jr., he went off on the Bucks for Kiffin getting the nod.
Well, that's not going to help getting his father in.
He wasn't mad that Kiffin got in. He's upset that, when are you going to do the right thing and nominate my father? And in that blast on Twitter, he wrote, "Your sorry-ass running backs you have now."
That's not going to help Ben either.
No, but I love the candor.
Sorry-ass running backs
you have now.
And by the way, one more thing about Kiffin I want to mention.
And mind you, he's a CFL running back.
This is worth throwing it out there. You know, the Hall of Fame's trying to do some different things, and they're going to put coaches in their own category, which is good because it made it very tough for guys like Father Dungy, as you call him, to get in. It put contributors. It was tough for Eddie DeBartolo to battle players. Now they're in a separate category. Makes it a lot easier. Well, and I'm not saying this guy should be in a separate category, but it says coaches. It doesn't just say head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Not one assistant coach is in Canton.
No
not
kidding.
Not one.
Wow.
And I'm not saying Kiffin has to be number one on the list if they open it up. Arnes Bogart, has been some great guys. Jim Hanifin, as you know from the
Dick LeBeau.
Well, LeBeau's in because he was a player.
Oh, that's right, he is. So,
yeah,
that's right, because I remember one time the Steelers honored him by wearing his
LeBeau's
Lions jersey. Ernie Stauner, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some great
players. And for those who don't know Ernie Stauner, he was Tom Landry's defensive coordinator forever, wasn't he?
I believe that's right.
Was he defensive coordinator?
Might have been...
I think it was defensive coordinator, Stauner.
Yeah.
I know Gene Stallings was the secondary coach for a long while. There's some other, I'm sure we could think about it.
Buddy Ryan, maybe?
Well, yeah, he has an assistant.
Carson? Is a Bud Carson?
Possibly. Yeah. I was thinking way back machine, Frank Gans.
He was a tremendous special team
player.
Yes. He was fantastic.
So that's a way back machine, but yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, and I would think Kiffin would be one of the first in there, if not the first, but yeah.
I hope all the old Buccaneers come for Monty's induction.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be a hell of a night. That'd be really neat.
They should carry him out on the field that night, by the way.
That'd be wild.
Led by, Sapp could put him on his shoulders. Sapp can do it.
Sapp and Kiffin aren't buddies.
You know, you've said that. You've said that.
Because I've heard...
I think maybe he blames him for the end of that 2008 season. I think he
might. Oh, is that right?
I think so.
I know Sapp... do with it. Sapp adores...
Marinelli.
Rod Marinelli.
Yeah, he does.
Adores him. But I can't remember who it was I spoke with that went to Sapp and was asking questions about Kiffin, and he turned real surly. And he was like, "Well, the scheme. Don't give me this scheme crap." And just, so he's
well,
not.
But there's no denying the numbers. There's no denying.
I agree, but you know, Sapp. He has a mind of his own, and how that runs sometimes, I'm not sure.
And don't forget, the Buck defense was still pretty good after Sapp and Lynch were gone
for years.
For years, and Kiffin was still there because Gruden was smart enough to keep him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, Gruden's not a dummy. Now Sunday, Ira. There was a report out of The Athletic, a guy, a Bengals beat writer. He claims that the Bears contacted the Bengals for Andy Dalton. Why do we care about Andy Dalton? Why do we care about the Bears? Well, some people, and a person you know and respect, and a guy I know and I have the utmost respect for, Joe Henderson, seems to think that Dalton could be the answer for the Bucs.
He spent 15 minutes talking up Andy Dalton.
I did just a little bit of research. I'm like, no. Hey, here's the research I did. We're talking about a guy who, and I'm sorry, quarterbacks, I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if you hate him. I don't care if you love him. I don't care if you're indifferent. The guy who touches the ball every snap guides and leads an offense, bad, good, or indifferent. Because he controls the game, literally. He has the ball in his hand every play. So Andy Dalton just led a team to the worst record in the NFL, which Jameis never did.
That's why they got the number one draft pick.
And the same team wants to dump him for a rookie. I understand, number one draft pick, but here's the icing on the cake for the quarterback wins crowd. Last 4 years.
I saw that.
Jameis has two more wins than Dalton.
I saw that. I went right to the one loss total. And it's not just one or two bad years. It's 4 years.
Yeah, and it's not like he didn't have receivers to throw to.
Now, he had some good years with the Bengals.
Oh, yeah, he did.
When they made the playoffs, but they never win a playoff.
They never won. And by the way, I got people angry when I said Jameis has as many playoff wins as Dalton.
You know, you made an excellent point when I mentioned Bridgewater. I might have to write a column about this. It's a tasty topic. Suppose behind door number two is Bridgewater, Dalton, Brady. Even Brady, in terms of arm strength. Wouldn't that require Bruce Arians, at this age, after all these years in the NFL, and all this work with quarterbacks, to change his philosophy? Very interesting.
What you just said is exactly why Pat Kerwin thinks Bridgewater to the Bucs is nonsense. And I spoke with Kerwin at the Combine, and he kind of poo-pooed Bridgewater's game. He's not anti-Bridgewater, but he thinks people are making a mountain out of a molehill here. He's number one. He goes, Bridgewater can't throw deep, and Arians is a deep-throwing guy. That's number one. Most interesting is number two, what Kerwin said about Arians. Guy's 67. You think he's going to change his offense?
I think that's a hell of a question.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a question.
So he
wants a guy that's going to fit his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, Leah, I could argue that's not Tom Brady. At this point.
You can make that argument. I mean, obviously, whoever the Bucs are targeting, they need to have a workout, see what they can do.
This ain't the Brady that was throwing bombs to Randy Moss. That was 2007.
Yeah, someone asked me what I thought about Brady the Bucs, and I said, which Brady are we talking about? We're talking about Brady 2005, or we're talking about Brady 2019?
I thought his arm retreated significantly.
No, I'm sorry.
He didn't have good weapons.
That's what I was going to ask
you. I'll be fair about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Did he have deep weapons? Were they able to get open? I don't watch the Patriots. I'm just so sick of the Patriots. They're on TV. Click.
By the way, I think Winston's got more mobility than in the pocket. I think he's got more pocket escapability than Brady does.
That's just it. To his credit, he can make plays when all hell breaks
loose. What's great about Brady is getting the ball out in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
but that's not a deep ball.
True.
That's not a deep ball.
There's only one Dan Marino. He only needed 2 seconds. Boom, 40-yard pass.
That's that quick slant to Edelman, which is effective.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Adam Humphries is gone, right?
why don't you interject a little combine story, Lee? What do you got?
What
do you got for us?
Here's a combine story for you. Arians, you know, he did his car wash, his media car wash.
Ooh, media car wash.
He did his media car wash when he spoke on Tuesday. And he went on NFL radio, and Bruce Murray was interviewing him. Bruce Murray got Arians going on analytics. I don't know why or how, but Arians just teed off on the spreadsheeters. Just teed off. I mean, you rely on that crap, you're going to get your ass beat. But, I mean, it was entertaining as can be. And I'm one of these guys, and I'll explain myself. I am not anti-analytics at all. Analytics is information. Information is gold. But I agree with Arians in the sense that you don't let stats dictate what you should or shouldn't do. It should give you an idea of what to do. You know, for example, Bucks are playing the Falcons. Bucks need 2 yards for a first down. Bucks have rotten running backs. And analytics say, you know what? If you run Ronald Jones to the right off right tackle, they generally gain 3 to 5 yards on average. So if you're just going by analytics, you hand the ball off to Ronald Jones off right tackle, Dotson would get
the odds are in your favor.
Yeah. Here's where the stats become somewhat irrelevant. Is Dotson on a gimpy ankle? Is he hungover? Has he got some kind of injury? Or
what's the defensive alignment?
Not just the defensive alignment. Is the defensive lineman owning him in that game? The analytics you have, it's not real time. It's prior to the game. Is that defensive end having a hell of a game where he's owning Donovan Smith? Again, analytics will give you information, which is great. And it'll give you an idea, which is great. But real time should dictate what's going on. And I remember years and years and years ago, I was covering a high school game. And this high school, it was St. Pete High. Joe Fabrizio was the coach. Great, great guy. And they had a pretty good running back. I think they were playing Eastlake, and they were getting nothing on the ground. I was on the sidelines, and one of his coaches went up to him and said, why don't we run this running back off this? I think he can get some yards. And Fabrizio said, we're not getting any push up front. That won't be in your analytics. And that obviously determined what this guy was doing, that we can't run the ball, we're not getting a push, we're not going to pass more than we want to. I am not anti-analytics at all, but I don't think they should dictate. And in that respect, I like what Arian said. He went a little overboard.
Well, I'll show you where analytics...
I hope Tom Bassett doesn't come at me with a baseball bat by saying that.
Next time I might have to stand in between you boys.
I'd like
but
Tom.
But Lee, even as far as the combine's concerned, look, you and I were old enough to have been through all these combines. We've seen it. We've seen, you know, what the conjecture is after somebody runs the 40 and the bench presses and the vertical leap. Lee, you got to go with the tape. You got to go with the tape.
Parcells has even said that.
Because you will get burned by the workout warriors. This Clemson outside linebacker that people are going crazy about. You know, he ran better than some wide receivers and this and that. I'm not saying the guy's not worth the top five pick, but only if the tape backs it up. I'm not going to pick him because of what he did on a Wednesday afternoon in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. If I didn't like the guy going in, that's not going to make me take him at number five. So, Lee, we hear this every year about this guy. The vertical leap. Will you stop with the vertical leap?
For offensive linemen,
trunk rotation? You give me a break over here.
Here's a perfect example about a guy we just spoke about earlier in this podcast, Jameis. Jameis had a terrible 40-yard time.
Yes,
terrible.
He did.
People bagged on him for that. And what did we just talk about earlier? His escapability. No one brings out his 40-yard dime anymore. No one.
You're right.
Now, it was Chase Young, and I'm not anti-combine. It's not my cup of tea. Stuart Mandel, who's a college football writer and columnist for The Athletic, I heard a podcast that he did over the weekend.
You're not supposed to listen to any other podcast, my man.
Well, I listen to yours, but you know, at any rate, Stuart Mandel, that was his first combine. And what's cool about the combine is it's like a marriage of both college and NFL writers. Like, I talked Friday when I was about ready to leave. I talked with Bruce Feldman for about 20 minutes. Really, really cool guy. Very informative.
Was your man Adam Shine wandering around? Did you see him?
No, he was still in New York.
Okay.
He was still in New York. But I talked to Bruce Feldman for about 20 minutes, and I love talking to him. I could talk to that guy all day long. But at any rate, it's like a combination of all football writers in America coming together at one. And Stuart Mandel, said, the workout parts, the times, the combine, I can't be less interested. He goes, but the scene is so cool. And that's what I like about it. The scene's great. The people you talk to, it's unmatched all year long. The contacts you make, the people, the information, it's wonderful. Chase Young, Ohio State. He did not participate in the drills, but he was there for the medical. He was there for the interviews. He was there for his press conference. And someone asked him, why are you not doing the combine workout? He said, I've been training for football. All these other guys are training for the combine. I'm training for football.
Good for him.
I love that answer. I'm training for football.
By the way, Lee, word on the street, and word on the street's not always accurate. Certainly not as accurate as the thing.
I came so close to spitting Diet Coke all over you.
Look out. Word on the street isn't as accurate as the stuff that's on Joe Buck's fan over there, okay. Mr. DeKemper. But word on the street, and I ask you this specifically because this is a guy that you talk to all the time. Word on the street is that our boy Jake Fromm did not distinguish himself in some of these workouts. Maybe some of his physical traits didn't pan out when you put a number to it. And we know for a fact, Lee, Sean Sullivan, general manager, Bill Curry, Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James on Dale Mabry.
The first family of Ford of Tampa.
Concierge service, my man. And we love our 2020 Ford Escape. Cherry red over there, Lee. And you've seen it. It's a heck of a car. Sean Sullivan says Jake Fromm's a guy that could be around in round three that might attract the interest of a Bruce Arians. You hear anything about Jake Fromm in Indy? People down on him a little bit?
He didn't have a good combine. And
they say his arm's not NFL strength. Sorry, Sean. I don't want you to flip out if you're hearing this.
I can't say that. I guess you could say the same thing about Joe Montana when he was coming out.
Nice.
He didn't have a strong arm. The guy who's down on Fromm, not completely, but he's got major reservations, and it's a guy I respect a lot, is Lewis Rick. He's very down on him. Basically, he said, I'm not saying he can't be a certain level of quarterback, but there's some traits that he had. I can't be specific because I didn't take notes or record it. But there are certain traits that Fromm has that's spooking Riddick. And he's a former, assistant general manager, pro personnel director, and if people ever watch him on ESPN, he's very well-spoken, very knowledgeable. He's really good. And I respect the guy a lot. So when he says something, I stop and listen. And he has reservations about Jake Fromm.
Would you be surprised if the Bucks walked away from draft weekend without a quarterback? Without a rookie quarterback?
No. And my mind has been changed. Because that Arians basically said, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. He doesn't think your backup quarterback should be any kind of competition for the starter.
Can't you bring in the rookie quarterback with it established that he's the backup? I mean, can't you?
I guess he doesn't like the speculation that, oh, you drafted the rookie, so you're trying to replace the starter. That's my guess. He said he wasn't in the market for a first-round quarterback. Maybe he could.
Well, what if door number two leads him to Phillip Rivers, and now in a year or two, he's got no quarterback?
That's one of my issues. And I had that question brought up on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan. That's quite a few people. Pose that question to me. They get rid of Jameis, they bring in Brady or Rivers. What goes on in 2 or 3 years? Well, I've said that if Arians is successful, if he doesn't win in the next couple of years, he won't be here in 3 years.
It's not going to be his problem.
It's not going to be his problem. And he's not worried about that. He's worried about now. And by the way, you and Rock, maybe there was some miscommunication about what Steve and I said on a podcast. Steve and I are not outright saying that the Bucks lose this year, Arians is fired. What I am saying, the Glazer family has only kept one coach since they've owned the Bucks who had back-to-back losing seasons. And that's the same coach who got them a Super Bowl. So if Arians loses this year, on almost uncharted waters. Actually, it is uncharted waters because Arians hasn't won a Super Bowl for the Glazer family. I did like what you say. If this is Arians' last year, if he loses, they'll make it look like he's retiring because of health or whatever. They won't make it look like a firing. And I also agree with you. If Arians is out the door for whatever reason, Jason Light is right behind him.
Right behind him. Can the Bucks hit a home run in this offseason plan?
Sure.
Can they hit a home run?
Sure, but you know what? That's dangerous. If they go after Brady and or go after Rivers and they strike out, and by that time Jameis is signed with someone else, now you're really painted yourself in a corner.
Trade for Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Now you got to get whatever scraps
left. And is that going to sell tickets?
Or hold on to your briefs. Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh. Does Brady make sense, Lee? Does Tom Brady make sense?
I'm going to leave that to the guy who knows football more than me. That's Arians.
He's the guy that was specifically mentioned by Arians, right?
Yeah. It was Steve that asked him, name a quarterback. And Bruce Arians right away said Tom Brady, which is against tampering rules. But he said it.
I think Brady's leaving the Patriots. I think you do, too. I think he's leaving.
Albert Breer, who writes for SI.com, he's pretty well plugged in. He thinks it's 50-50. He used to cover the Patriots for NFL Network. He's got a lot of contacts there. And he wrote a story today. The lead of his column was, what's going to happen with Brady? He thinks it's 50-50. He said he's not about to rule out, and he's leaving the Patriots. He says that Belichick and Brady could easily have a meeting of minds, which may take place within the next week or two, and say, you know what, we're good for each other. Let's stick around.
Don't they have to get better weapons over there?
That brings up a great point. If the Bucks get Brady, you think Brady's going to come here if they have the same slop for running backs that they have now? I don't think so.
Here. I want a balanced offense.
I'm not a balanced offense guy for this reason. I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, if you got Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw, you could have a balanced offense, or Roger Craig and Joe Montana. But if you got rotten running backs, it's pointless to try to have a balance. You know, if one element of your offense isn't working, and that makes you, that element, if it worked, it would be balanced. I'm a big believer in if it isn't working, don't keep going to the well. Move on. But I'm more in a Mike Leach mode that, you know, go with your strength. And if your strength isn't running the ball, don't run the ball. Bruce Arians' offense, quarterbacks tend to get pounded. Brady's what, 42?
He likes to send five guys out in a pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right away, just face value, I have to wonder if Brady wants to come here. I don't think he wants to come here from a business standpoint. That's just me speculating. From a football standpoint, I think Brady has some legitimate questions. How are you going to protect me? Are you going to get a running back? And until those questions are answered to his satisfaction, we'll determine whether he talks turkey with the Bucks or not.
Lee, one more point. It's another thing that jumped out at me on the Arians car wash on Tuesday. And I think he said it, you tell me whether he said it from the podium or on the sidebar chat with the local writers, but I didn't expect him to say it, but it seems like another thing that's very much on his mind besides Winston's 30 picks. He wants a three-down running back, Lee.
Yeah.
He wants a guy that doesn't come off the field.
That guy's not on the roster right now.
That guy's not on the roster.
No.
That guy's not on the roster. Which leads me to, well, who's available? This Kenyon Drake is a little bit intriguing.
It is.
He's a little bit intriguing. Mm-hmm. Nobody looked twice at him until he finished strong with Arizona. He bungled his way through the Dolphins. They didn't have a lot of faith in him. And all of a sudden, the last eight games for Arizona, the guy looks like, Marshall Faulk over here.
And not with a good offensive line either.
That's right. That's absolutely right. There's a couple of backs in the draft. There's a kid out of LSU. Yeah.
Ohio State, and Wisconsin.
And Cam Akers from FSU, who's not a first-round talent, but he's intriguing.
He's very intriguing for this fact. He had an atrocious offensive line. Those guys couldn't block a drunk to a beer.
Great point. Never stop fighting.
So that's a great point you bring up about Cam Akers. I'm glad you mentioned his name. He showed he can get production without blocking. I mean, the Bucs offensive line would be the 76 Raiders compared to what he ran behind. I mean, Florida's hits offensive line.
You're looking for Art Shell and Gene Humphrey. Yeah. So we both think that he's a possibility. He's a possibility.
I would hope so, but you know what? Arians has said in the past he doesn't believe in high draft picks for running backs. It's almost like he's hoping you find another, what's the guy? He was so good for him.
David Johnson
in the third round.
I'm not taking Akers with the 14th pick. I mean, I'm not saying that. But he wants a three-down back, and we both agree on one thing. He ain't on the roster. See you in a couple of days, Lee.